My father, H. Tracy Hall Sr., blessed me with a wonderful mother, a secure childhood, and most important, his example of sterling integrity. Dad had an internal compass that was guided by principle over popularity or worldly success. As we children watched his example, it was abundantly clear that his desire was to, above all else, have part in building the kingdom of God on earth. Dad's insatiable curiosity about the wonders of this world and his excitement learning more about them spilled over at Mom's on-time family meals. Dad's influence was daily present, especially at breakfast, when he often let his own food go cold while he read scriptures to us and got us interpreting the meaning in terms of living the gospel. His excitement sharing his latest experiments and scientific observations and discoveries infused us children with his yearning for learning. Most important of all, Dad left us his witness, especially as reinforced by his science, that God lives and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Dad blessed me with an almost magical childhood. When we moved to Niskayuna, New York, Mom and Dad built their first tract home in the middle of a forest. There would be no television in our home. Dad wanted us children reading good books, practicing our instruments, weeding and cultivating our large garden, and if there was any free time, exploring that beautiful forest and becoming acquainted with the wonders of nature. For us children, Mom and Dad made sure money was scarce. If we craved something, we earned it by doing extra chores around the house. Dad made the scriptures so exciting that one of my first goals was to earn my own set of scriptures. I earned it a penny and a nickel at a time, and when I had earned half of it, Dad threw in the rest and gave it to me for my birthday. Dad then paid me 1 cent for every scripture I memorized from the center section that included scriptures that reinforced the mission discussions. I got 2 cents if I could still cite it again the following Sunday, including chapter and verse. Our Schenectady branch was an experience in itself. We had so few members, each of us participated and felt we were an important part of the proceedings. The whole branch came down to the Susquehanna River near the place where the Prophet Joseph Smith was baptized for a special service when some new converts were baptized along with me after I turned age 8. Mom and Dad loved the missionaries and invited them into our home often for meals. The elders were invited to present the discussions in a series of our sacrament meetings, and once my parents played the part of the investigator couple, asking the elders questions. Little did they know that I was one of the most excited converts that evening. With all this, a desire to serve a mission built in my heart. But when I was finally old enough to serve a mission, I realized that my two younger brothers would also be serving at overlapping same times, so that Dad would be having to support three of us at once. I didn't think he could do that on a professor's salary and told the bishop so when he extended his mission call to me. Next morning, Dad knocked on my bedroom door. "Charlene, I hear from Bishop Free that you're worried about my having to support three missionaries. Your mother and I never told you about it because we wanted you to not feel compelled, but we've been saving since you were a little girl, and the money's there. The decision is all yours, Charlene. You'll have our support, whatever you decide. But if you don't go, you better find a better reason than that we don't have enough money." I did serve a mission to South Germany while my two brothers were in Berlin and Australia, and my experience there has blessed my entire life since. Dad usually left the letter writing to Mom, but the few letters he wrote while I was on my mission are a treasured part of my personal history. In his letters, he expressed his usual trust and confidence, writing, "We are certain that you will be successful in your endeavors. We send our love and best wishes. We're very proud of you and what you are doing." Dad had a tactful way of reinforcing our good intentions and ideas. He was never one to just preach at us. He'd always try to find some little gem within us and then build on it. In one letter he wrote, "I meant to ask you in the last letter how your open the door approach worked. As I recall, you were going to ask them if you could sing a song written in America. Then you were going to sing, 'Oh, how lovely was the morning.' And then you were going to ask them if they wouldn't like to hear the story behind that song. I'm really interested in knowing how this one turned out. We'd also like to hear about any other door opening schemes that you've come up with. We are sorry to hear about the disappointments and baptisms that you thought were coming up. I think it was my singing. But don't be discouraged. I'm sure that the successes you encounter will far outweigh your disappointments. Dad did his own part sharing the gospel with his contacts. A man by the name of Jim Hall processed some of Dad's patents in Washington, D.C. Jim followed Dad's patents not only because of his specialty interest in high-pressure research, but because they had the same name. Jim was a very devout Presbyterian elder and held a position on his church national board. One day he called and asked to interview Dad as a representative of a group who were trying to understand the diamond synthesis process and document who really made diamond. Mom and Dad had already booked a family trip with an LDS group rafting on the Colorado Green River, so they invited Jim to just join them on this trip. Mom told me that when they drove Jim and his wife to their hotel room, they started asking questions about the church. Mom and Dad tried hard to just barely answer their questions without over-answering, and I guess it worked because Jim and his wife insisted that they come up to their hotel room so they could ask for more. After Jim and his wife returned home, Mom and Dad heard nothing, and so they worried that maybe they'd said something wrong. Well, it took a couple of years, but out of the blue, Dad got an excited call from Jim Hall. He and his wife had taken the discussions and were going to be baptized. Jim informed Dad that it was his example and influence that had inspired them to want to learn more. After baptism, Jim and his wife lived in my sister Virginia's stake near Arlington, Virginia. Ginger said they asked about Dad every time we saw them at state conference. Jim always made it a point to tell them how much he loved Dad. He told them what impressed him about H. Tracy Hall was his humility, devotion to his beliefs, and especially the daily practice of those beliefs in his life, his love for his family, and his kindness to everyone. Speaking of Virginia, one of the few times I saw Dad cry was when he and Mom received a dozen red roses from converts in Scotland who Ginger taught while on her mission there. The card said that they just wanted to thank the parents who raised a daughter like her and sent her to bless their lives. Because of Dad's good life, we, his children, don't need to wonder about where he is or what he's doing now. We learn through revealed truth that when we die, we do not experience a miraculous change. We carry with us the spirit that we and the habits that we had in this life. What a blessing to know that my father continues now with the same focus he had here on earth. An important part of that focus will be his continuing desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who on this earth did not have that opportunity here. I love section 138 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It records a vision President Joseph F. Smith received about a year before my father was born. While reflecting on Peter chapter 4, verse 6, President Smith saw multitudes of those who have gone before who were in captivity in the spirit world. When Jesus came and taught the righteous spirits after his crucifixion, their countenances reflected the light of his love, and they understood his role in their redemption, bowed their knees to him, and sang his praises. However, Jesus did not personally teach those who were wicked and had defiled themselves. However, from among the righteous, Jesus appointed messengers who, armed with the might of his power and the light of his word, taught the multitudes not yet ready to bear Jesus' actual presence. I know my dear father is among those of the righteous whose faces shine in reflection of our Lord's love and trust. I know Dad will be among those involved in Jesus' ministry to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. I pray that we descendants and friends of H. Tracy Hall can be inspired by his great love for the gospel and do our part to help build the kingdom of God on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.